Shalom, we are on. Okay, we're continuing in Midat HaSimcha. It's good in honor of the Simcha of the Chag HaPesach, which is up and coming. And I actually remember to wish a Chodesh Tov to everybody. Halavai that this Chodesh Sof Vaketz Lechol Tzaroteinu. B'Midat HaSimcha. Do you have it?
Yeah, I clicked it from
last time. Good. It's interesting that everybody knows that simcha is happy, is important. And a lot of people don't connect that with the basic issue of emunah. If you believe in Hashem, that He's the one who runs the world, and that everything comes from Hashem, as we're going to see, then inevitably you're happy. And so, b'midat ha-simcha tluya mitzvat aseh shiyatzdik kol ma'orotav. That a person, the famous gamzu letova, that everything that Hashem does is for the best, that is directly connected with simcha. Right? We all remember, ezu ashir, asameach v'chelko. Right? Anyone who's happy is, what is happiness? Somebody who's happy with that which he has. Shene'amar v'yadata im levavecha, ki chasher yaser ished b'no, Hashem Elokecha miyasreka. I actually didn't think of checking, but I'm not familiar with other Rishonim that count this as a mitzvah. That it's a mitzvah de'oraita, according to the Orchot Tzadikim. And he's a Rishon, right? He's... can do whatever he wants.
No,
yadati levecha ki kasher yaser isha b'no, Hashem Elokecha miyasreka, that whatever Hashem disciplines us, gamzu letova. He actually thinks that as a mitzvah aseh midoraita, to accept everything from Hashem as letova. Ve'imachar, and by the way, it's important to stress, who is it, the Kutzker Rebbe, I think, who said that somebody who says gamzu letova while he's still in the middle of the issue, tov shelo chai b'tkufat haman harasha. In other words, it's good that he wasn't running the show in the time of Haman, and okay, Haman decreed to kill all the Jews, gamzu letova. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to work that way. Gamzu letova is bidiavad, after the ma'aseh, after you did everything that you can, and you daven, and you get all the help that you can from your friends, and nationally, etc., etc., and then gamzu letova, even if it doesn't work out the way you thought that it should have worked out. But again, Svia, if you can remind me, do you have your cell phone here?
Yeah.
Can you send me a WhatsApp to check out? Because I don't remember anybody counting this as a mitzvah.
What do you want to
to check if miyasreka is a mitzvah. Toda. Ve'imachar she'adam oseh tshuva lo ye'inyano b'tova kmo batchila. And what happens, and this is something obviously that occurs, somebody is a Baal Tshuva, somebody does Tshuva, it doesn't have to be 180 degrees, but you know, somebody decides they don't want to talk Lashon Hara, and then things, instead of getting better, they get worse. Mitzvah shiyachshov bilibo ki letovato nefach inyanu l'ra. Right, your first reaction is going to be, what, God, this is why I did Tshuva, right?
And well, his situation gets worse?
Yeah, your financial situation, whatever it is. And, you know, as adults, we all know, sometimes kids don't know, but sometimes we also forget that emunah is not a Coke machine. That you do the mitzvah, press the button, and get what you want. It's more like, very often Coke machines, they don't work. Right? Or it takes a while till you, sometimes you have to call the company, and then you get what you want to. And so too, a lot of times it takes time, right? It's not automatic. Ki kodem she'asa adam tshuva, haya kadosh baruch hu mishalim lo schar mitzvot she'asa, kedei ledor tordo mi'olam haba. And the Orchot Tzadikim raises one possibility. It doesn't say that this definitely is, but we know that the Gemara says that sometimes one of the answers why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses this world to get rid of that which he wants to get rid of. For example, a bad person. He did some mitzvot. He deserves to get a reward. So he gets the reward in this world so that he can get his real punishment in the world to come. And vice versa, regarding a tzaddik, a person's a real, real tzaddik, but everyone makes mistakes. And I think most people would prefer getting their punishment where, by Hashem, punishments are really a tikkun. Getting it in this world, and that way in the world to come, the eternal world, you're all clean. So he's not saying that that's always the case, but there is that scenario.
You
know, the Gemara says that. The Gemara says that if 30 days... And by the way, I think everybody has that feeling sometimes when things are going too good. You know, you say, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, you know, wow, we did what we want in the house and we could afford what we want to buy for Pesach and, you know, we got a new car and Baruch Hashem, we have smachot, etc. And sometimes you get this feeling that it's too good. And the Gemara actually says that if 30 days goes by and nothing goes wrong, then you should really worry that you're getting your reward in this world. But I don't think anybody has ever had 30 days go by with nothing going wrong. You know, finding a parking spot, that's always right there. Right. Oh, Chazal say Yisurin is also, we mentioned this once, even putting your hand in the pocket and taking out the wrong number of coins. Or having to look for your handkerchief in the other pocket or something like that.
You know? Say, Hashem always gives me a parking space. Always.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Like, literally, I just pray for the space and somebody just pulls up.
Yeah. Baruch Hashem, next time, I have trouble, so I'll give you a call. Do you take house calls?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay. For anybody who didn't hear that, anybody who needs a parking spot,
ask
Sarah Simon. Okay. Baruch Hashem. You know, usually if you're doing Baruch Hashem, you go to do a lot of mitzvot, and why not? So he continues. Shene'amar u'mshalim l'sunav el panav l'ha'avido. U'v'derech shu'u oseh l'sunav ken mshalim l'o'avav onesh ha'averot she'asu bo'olam hazeh. Like we said, I'm sure everybody would prefer having a short, temporary, physical punishment, rather than having to be punished in the world to come for eternity. So that when they get to the world to come, their slate is clean. In other words, be positive, even when something goes wrong, that it's coming to be some kind of tikkun. And that also gives you peace of mind. And you know, instead of just going crazy, some people, if something goes wrong, they just, you know, lose the north, as they say in Hebrew. How do you say that in English?
Lose it,
yeah. And all this gets back to the idea of happiness. Somebody who is happy with that which Hashem sends him. That everything Hashem does is for the best. But how to get there? Right, that's what we're going to learn now. How to get to that mindset that everything that Hashem does is for the best. That we accept the bad just like the good. Now obviously that's an oxymoron. If everything is for the good, how do you accept the bad? But the answer is what people think is bad. What's called havya minu, what at first glance seems that I thought it should go another way. And by the way, parenthetically, that's something very important. It's not a good idea to think that I could run the world better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, hey, if I would have done it differently. And obviously, we all just have such a short and local and short-term picture. And nevertheless, it's interesting, the Gemara says, we all know that there's a bracha. When something goes good, you make, and you really should make this bracha. A lot of people, you know, don't, yeah, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hatov Vehamitiv, something, you hear good news. They killed Sinwar. You should make, I would make, Atov V'Amitim with B'Shem Malchut. They freed hostages without having, you know, to pay an exorbitant price. Atov V'Amitim. On the other hand, there's the bracha of Dayan HaEmet, of something you hear bad news. But the Gemara says that La'atid Lavo, in the future, will understand that also that which appears bad is really good. And we will only make the bracha of Hatov V'Amitiv. So you have something to look forward to. Haderech hazeh mitchalek lekama drachim. So the way to get there is divided into several different aspects. Haechad, the first aspect, sarich gader gadol sheivtach be'elohim. You have to, and he's going to elaborate on each one, you have to trust in God. What does it mean, trust? I once heard that there's a famous exercise that marriage counselors do, that they have one spouse standing in front of the other, and they say, fall back and trust your spouse that he will catch you. I guess it depends how much you weigh. Or, yeah, or she will. Anyway, the idea is trust, right? And if the person hesitates, that's a sign that the person falling doesn't really trust, or subconsciously doesn't trust. And so we have to really trust Hashem. Hasheni, number two, emunah, belief. You have to believe that it's Hashem that runs the world. Believe that everything comes from Him. And that's connected, obviously, with the first point of trust, right? But you know, when analyzing, usually differentiate in order to help us focus in. Hashlishi, the third thing, is sechel. It's logical that you should be happy because everything comes from Hashem. Haravi'i, the fourth, is ha-histapkut. Make do without luxuries. And that's a very important thing, especially today, where Baruch Hashem, our standard of living is so high. And, you know, that's life today. And I'm sure that the average person in Kohava Shachar Davka has a relatively simple needs, right? We don't have like mansions here and things like that. And so that's number four, that don't expect a lot. Somebody who expects that he deserves a lot, he's going to be disappointed. But if you're not expecting a lot, you don't think that you deserve everything, you're not going to be disappointed, right? Everybody should have realistic expectations. Amar HaChacham. By the way, once we're talking about realistic expectations, the Ravid, as there's an interesting machloket, I once gave a shiur on the Yeshuv, on the Gemara Psachim, says that we grab the matzot at the Seder night so as not to fall asleep, that the children shouldn't fall asleep. So the first association that most people have is grab the afikoman, the game, grabbing it, hiding it. That's the Rambam's explanation. But the Ravid, he says, grab the matzot. He says, don't drag out magid too long. Hurry in to get the motzi matzah, maror korech, shulchan orech. And this is something very difficult. Most families, even if you don't have younger kids, usually the older ones are already getting married and they have younger kids. So the min'ad, that's a great word. I remember when I learned that in Hebrew. Min'ad is the range. It's min'ad. Wow. It's a modern word, but yeah, it's a nice word. The range at the Seder, in most families, I tell this to my students, you know, in the Midrashot, Yeshivot, they're 18, 19-year-olds, they're coming to the Seder with pages and pages of Divrei Torah that they prepared and learned, and their kid brother, who's 7 years old, says, I'm hungry. You know, when are we going to get to the Afikoman? And so the Ravid says, grab the matzot so that the children, the younger children, don't fall asleep. So you shouldn't stretch out Magi that much. What about the Chola Marbella Sapir Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim? Harezim Mishubach. Harei, the more Divrei Torah, the better. So the Netziv says that is after the younger children have gone to sleep.
Oh, they don't go to sleep. They just stay at the table.
So after Chag Gadya. But I'm thinking this year seriously of usually I like drinking wine to get a feeling of chirut. You know, it's sort of like Purim. But I'm thinking if we're really going to do a lot of the Divrei Torah late at night, I think maybe I'll mix it with grape juice. Actually, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says that chirut is not necessarily that feeling that you get when you drink wine. He says chirut is to drink whatever you prefer. So if a person prefers grape juice, for him it's better to have grape juice.
Who said that?
Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. The first opinion is that of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that the idea of chirut, the four cups, and if you think about it, it's, you know, pretty logical, is, you know, to have that feeling of happiness. Again, sort of like Purim. But anyway.
Everyone knows themselves. They know that they're going to fall asleep.
Yeah, you can rely on this opinion, you can rely on that opinion. The Ravid, again, he says that you got to have realistic expectations of the different people at the Seder. And how do we get into that? We're talking about realistic expectations. His tapkut is not to set your goals too high, and then you get upset that Hashem doesn't give you this or Hashem doesn't give you that. Maybe it's not in your better interest. Amar Chacham, kol adam tzarich gader v'saad v'semech kedei sheyitkaymu ma'asav hatovim. A person needs protection, a protective fence, and support in order to do his good deeds. Umawa gader, what is the fence? Zeu habitachon. Bitachon, like we said before, is to trust in Hashem. That's a fence. If you really trust in Hashem, then even if things are going wrong, you can still be happy because you know that it's all for the best. So that's a fence to protect your happiness. Shabotech tamid beluhim yidbarach, kamo sheneemar, as it says in Tehillim, Nunhei. Hashlecha l'Hashem yahavcha, v'hu yichal kalecha. Trust in God, and He will take care of you. All right. I see there's nobody here around to remind me to move down the screen. So whoever's watching here. Hashlecha l'Hashem yahavcha. Umahu geder abitachon. Okay, now we're going to take them one by one and define what does it mean to trust in Hashem. Ve'ezda davar mevishiv tacha adam be'elohim. And even more important, how do we acquire that midah of trusting in Hashem? Ze ha'emunah. This is the second point. The first and the second point, bitachon and emunah, that is trust and belief in Hashem. Your belief is what brings your trust. Mitoch shema'amin ba'bore shekol atzlachato ba'olam hazeh ba'olam haba hakol u'mimenu. As soon as you believe that every success that you have, every success that we have in the world, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, whether it be social, whether it be family, whatever it is just from Hashem. Ve'ein acher zulato. There is none but Him. By the way, there's an interesting Hasidic minhag to stress when you say Aleinu l'shabeach. You know, there are two times in the first paragraph where you say Ein Od. Again?
Right at the end of the last one.
Right, and there's one, like one line before. Right. So the idea is to concentrate, it's like a segula, and that's exactly what we're saying. You should really concentrate as much as you can on these words. Now, how do you do that? I'll give you a personal idea that I do. As soon as you get to the word Einod, just take your finger and get in the habit of touching the table. And that focuses you on that word. By the way, that's the Sephardic minhag. Some of you may know that when you say potech et yadecha, you put out your hands. Have you seen people do that?
Mm-hmm.
The children pick that up. Out of 3 years in Gan, there's inevitably going to be one Sephardic Gan in it. Mm-hmm. So that's also where they kiss the hand after Shema. Have
yes.
you seen that? All my
yes.
kids, they come home with kissing
yes.
their hands. Mm-hmm. There's no prohibition.
Is that pinky thing also a Sephardic thing when you do the Zot HaTorah?
No. It's actually the Mishnah Berurah says that you should bow. And if you want to point, you should point with your pointer finger. Yeah, so do the men. That's one person started it. And,
really?
Yeah. By the way, it's the same thing. At the Seder, we're right before Pesach. For those who are going to be listening to this in a half a year, we're right before Pesach. And, you know, the minhag of taking out drops from the wine. So many people take it out with their pinky. And the whole idea is it's in memory of Etzva Elokimhi, and this is a Zeret, not an Etzva. This is an Etzva. And the custom is to take it out with your finger. With your finger, not with your pinky. So the same thing. Oh, yeah. That's also found.
I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, that's also found. But as a matter of fact, I think that might even be more original than taking it out with your finger, if I remember correctly. But I actually thought it was from the Jews from England. You know, they're very dainty. So I thought they would, maybe they picked that up from the Queen or something.
If you think about it, most people think that their fingers are dirty, but their pinky is not so dirty. Maybe that's where it came from.
The kids are, no, when you point at a Sefer Torah and when you take the wine out, it's with your finger. That is your index finger. Okay, so this is what is called exclusivity, right? That Hashem is the exclusive one who runs the world. And very often, you know, politicians have a lot of power and wealthy people have a lot of power. The bottom line is Hashem exclusively runs the world. So next time, try that. It's a good practical idea. By the way, I do it also when else do you have to concentrate? That's a mitzvah d'oraita, to remember that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Whenever you want to concentrate, that's just a good practical tip. Just do that finger. Amen yesh me'eraba, right? How do you focus yourself? You say so many things in the davening. Right? Siddur's long, especially on Yom Kippur. So how do you focus on that when you really want to focus? So, again, try that simple idea, and that focuses you. It's also similar to the Slaflan Avinu Ki Chatanu, right? That even if your mind is wandering, that focuses you, especially if it's Shabbat, and you're not supposed to be in Slaflan Avinu and say, hey, what am I doing? I'm in the wrong place. Okay. So that is the idea. Ve'in acher zulato. Hashem exclusively runs the world. Noten libo lehov oto bechol levavo. And put your heart to love Hashem with all of your heart. What does that mean, with all of your heart? He's explaining. Don't divide your allegiance to other people. Hashem exclusively runs the world. Umahu geder emuna. By the way, maybe I should already mention the Radak asks on the Pasuk in Tehillim that we say in Davening, Al tiftechu bin divin. Don't put your trust in the wealthy donors, the beneficial people. And the Radak says, does that mean that Rosh Yeshivot shouldn't ask anybody for donations to their yeshiva? Right? What would we do without giving tzedakah? And he says, no. It's not talking, there's nothing wrong with asking a Rothschild to donate. As a matter of fact, we believe that Rothschild was very happy. And as a matter of fact, the giver gains more than the receiver. I remember that Hanukkah party once. You know, our kids, you have a family Hanukkah party. And I had an aunt that, you know, as every family gets presents. So I had an aunt that says, "Tis better to give than to receive." So I asked my mother, "What is tis?" They really talk like that in England. Tis, yeah. So she explained to me, "It is better to give than to receive." So I remember saying to myself, "Well, this aunt, she really doesn't understand. She's giving me the gift, and she thinks that she's gaining from it." Until I matured, and I realized that giving is to be godly. And when a Rothschild or a donor makes a donation, he is getting more than he is giving. And so the Radak says, what does it mean, "Al tiftechu bin divin, umehashem yasir libo"? That's a quote. Don't think that it's not Hashem. Who gave the donor money to give to you? Who put in his heart to give to you and not to that yeshiva, right? To that shul or whatever it is, right? So there's nothing wrong with turning to other people to help out. That was actually one of the last things that my father, Zichron Alivracha, said to the whole family. We had a family get together for my father's birthday. It was actually just his yahrzeit last week. And he wasn't speaking that much, but he mustered up all of his strength. He saw the whole family was there. And he gave his last will and testament. And Baruch Hashem, one of the kids actually taped it. I wouldn't have thought of taping it, but one of the things that he said is that, you know, "I thank all of you for helping out during my sickness." And he says that there's nothing wrong with accepting help. When you're older, your whole life, you help other people. And there's nothing wrong with them helping you. That's how the world goes, right? We help our parents, and our kids hopefully will help us. And they learn from us helping our parents. They learn to help their parents. This, by the way, I mentioned this in a shiur a couple weeks ago. Everybody knows the famous Ramban, that in Bereshit, he says a very important klal, Ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. Right? That whatever the avot do, that's what is going to happen to the children. And there are a lot of different explanations, most of them mystical. But if you think about it, it's 100% rational. Because that which the avot do, they're setting an example for their children. And their children copy them, and their children copy them. Ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. That is the cycle of setting an example for your children. And there are a lot of things that, you know, it just hits you. I remember ha'asimon nafal, that, hey, my parents are old. I guess now's the time. You know, I saw my parents helping their parents when they were old, and I guess, okay, we got to that stage.
So we spoke about
another important way of acquiring the midah of emuna, of faith, and also of trusting in Hashem, is that you don't get excited, you don't get upset when something bad happens. You don't lose your cool. Sheyikabel kol haba alav besimcha. Just like, you know, the marriage counselors say, before you yell, count to 10, right? So too, when something bad happens, also count to 10 before you lose your cool. And remember, maybe even repeat to yourself, gamzu l'tova, gamzu l'tova. Don't lose your simcha. V'zed dome le'eved shemakir adonav. He says it's like a slave who knows his master. Today we would say boss, right? A worker is working for a boss. Shuhu nadiv, and he knows that this boss is generous, v'rachaman, and merciful. He's a nice guy. U'mishalem lo se ritzono, and he, there's a word for that, when you pay a worker properly.
Compensation.
Yeah, you compensate. A boss who sees that a worker is working hard.
Pays them well.
Again? He pays them well. Yeah. Ushlichuto sachar gadol. Uva'ad shiachbid al mishartav avodah kasha. And if sometimes when the boss gives especially hard work to the worker, humeitiv lehem tovot gadolot, he knows how to mechaper them, to compensate them. Migadlim, migadlam, umenase utam, and he gives them likadim. How do you say?
Promotion.
Right? Viyuan sheyatzato, and the boss listens to, takes advice from his workers. Va'ochlim al shulchano, and he lets them eat at his table. Yeah, in other words, he's a very nice boss. Umar kivam b'merkevet amishnei asher lo, and he lets them ride in his car. Umafkidim al artzo, and he puts them in charge, he gives them responsibility. Ein ze safek, sheze ha'eved ha'yodeh umakir zot ba'adonav. Somebody who knows that his boss is going to pay him well, and is going to compensate, is going to appreciate, and knows really, you know, some bosses just really don't know what's going on. Other bosses really know what's going on, and some of them just say, thank you. Some of them, first of all, a thank you is also important, right? But they will add to that thank you because they really do appreciate it. So it's a two-way street. And these are the type of workers who will gladly do that which their boss wants them. I think the best example of this is in the army. In the army, there's this klal that all the kids learn in basic training. Yachas gorem yachas. That the way that you act, that's what you're going to get in return. If you fill the orders, you act properly, so I'll act properly with you. And a lot of times a commander can get extra vacations for his soldiers, can get extra Shabbatot for his soldiers, can get better food for his soldiers. And in my day, most of the army was based on negative, Hatnaya.
Preventing.
Negative, there's positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. In my day, most of the army was negative reinforcement. But today, people know that positive reinforcement, you give a compliment, give extra good food or something like that, and the soldiers appreciate it, and they will go that extra mile for you. Ve'afim avuda kasha alav me'od, even if it's very difficult. Bezochro atova asher tagia elav biglal avuda azot. Right? You realize that you're benefiting from it. Aval ha'eved. Here we go down. Aval ha'eved. Haroesh adonav mikapeach schar avadav. But somebody who sees that his boss doesn't really treat the workers well, and the commander in the army doesn't treat his soldiers well. V'yodea b'libosha adonav kili. And by the way, notice that he likes this word. This is at least the third time that we saw the word kili. Kili, we don't use this that much in modern Hebrew. It's one of those SAT words. It means a kamsan. They say kamsan, a miser. Right. So, yeah, he...
Maybe.
I think it's from the Shoresh L'chalot. You know, to finish off. You know, like Fayechulu Hashamayim, you know, that's, he doesn't want everything to be finished off. Vitarchu yoter gadol mischarom. Actually, it appears in Chazal, so it's not a modern word, you know.
Right.
Like a modern word, like min ad, you know, that Ben Yehuda does. Tarchu yoter gadol mischarom. And if a person knows that the effort that I'm putting in is more than I'm going to get back from my boss. The worker is going to do the minimum. What's called to make a check, right? And do the bare minimum. But that's not the way it should be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we know that the more that we put in, he is going. And he, more than any other boss, can give whatever he wants. Somebody who really believes in Hashem. Hashem is greater than any good. And he's more merciful and kind than anyone and anything. And tov Hashem lakol, that Hashem is good to everyone and everything. Which is pretty hard. Because a lot of times, if you think about economically, when you're good to Reuven, it's at the expense of his competitor. Mm-hmm. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can really make sure that every person, Tov Hashem Lakol. That's pretty complicated. Even with kids, if you have 6, 7 kids, right? You just think, you know, hey, if I give a chew part of this one, so he's going to be jealous, right? And it's not easy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have a problem. He's unlimited to give you, to pay you back in many different good ways. Veshu Dayana Emet, and he also is the true judge. And then anything that Hashem does is for my benefit. And anything that a Jew suffers, even if it's anti-Semitism, that we suffer because we're God's chosen people, don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back many, many times over. And this, again, what is our topic? Happiness. This helps us keep a proportion of happiness, even when things are going wrong. That the real pleasant world is the world to come. That's where we get most of the reward. Even the terrible, evil king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, who destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash, avur shepasa arba psiot lichvod el yidbarach zachal gdula gdola. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin says that why did Hashem give him so much honor and success? Because when he heard Hashem's name, he walked 4 steps to respect Hashem. Now, kings usually don't respect anybody. So for this king, Hashem gave him a lot of power. He was one of the 4 kings who ruled over the entire world. V'chinyan shematzinu be'esav, avur shenizhar b'chibud b'chvod aviv, zachal gdula b'olam hazeh. Why was he so successful? And he has so many soldiers. And why are the Christians so successful? That's what he's inferring. Esav and his descendants, because they honor their parents. And Esav, he might have been very bad in a lot of things, but Hashem gives the reward, proper reward, even to evil people, for anything that they do good. How much more so? To good people. Anybody who believes this with a total belief, he will be very happy with all of the mitzvot and all of the halachot that Hashem gives him to do, because he knows, here he's going to have, he has a nice line here, ki mi lo yismach, who will not be happy, kishenotlim mimenu prutot nechoshet, that you just pay a couple of pennies, copper pennies, v'notnim lo tmuratan kikar zahav, and you get gold in return. That's a good deal, right? Yeah, it takes a little effort here and there to do the mitzvot, to say brachot, and to, you know, to spend extra money on education, and yeah, Torah mitzvot does take a little effort. But we know that the amount that we're going to get in return is so much more worth it that just remember that mashal. Pay a couple of pennies in order to get a lot of gold in return. And Hashem, as soon as you believe in him, you know that he is going to return many, many times over. And he can. He can pay back anything that he wants. Okay, Ankan.